almost hard to say the gospel of our Lord after a tragic beheading of John the Baptist. What a gospel reading for today. I've preached on this text before, and I'm not saying this text doesn't have something to say to us these days. I think it does. I think it has a lot to say to us about the use of justice or the misuse of power. There's a lot of things that could be said with this text. But in praying through the scripture readings that were assigned for this week, you know, I always sort of ask God that the Holy Spirit would lead or guide my thinking, my thoughts, that something would resonate there for me that then I could share with you. And where God was speaking to me this week was more in our reading from Ephesians, our epistle reading. So that's the one we're going to focus on this morning. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a movie that I would venture to guess that almost everyone in this room has seen. Now, there are not many movies that I could speak with such surety about. But I think this one, almost, except for maybe some of the younger ones in this room, I think almost everyone else has seen this movie. It's an American classic called The Wizard of Oz. You're all familiar with The Wizard of Oz, right? The main character, Dorothy, and then her three friends. You got the Tin Man, you've got the Scarecrow, you've got the Cowardly Lion. And they all have a need that they want the wizard to help them with. But the wizard also has a need, and the need of the wizard is the broomstick of the Wicked Witch in the West, because she has been a real thorn in his side. So the deal is that they can go and get that from her, then he will redeem that broomstick and give them what it is they're looking for. So off they go, and they have these series of adventures till finally they're able to secure, with the help of Glinda, the Good Witch, they're able to secure this broomstick from the Wicked Witch of the West, and with pride they bring it back to the wizard, and now they want it redeemed for those very things that the others had been wanting. And it's only then that we find out that the wizard really has no power at all. The wizard is not able to redeem anything for them. He's not able to give them anything, but what we also find out is that the wizard doesn't need to give them anything. Because what it is that they're looking for, they've already got. So he has this little ceremony in which he bestows upon each of them something. He bestows upon the Scarecrow a diploma. Makes him a doctor of thinkology. Because he wants to be smart. He wants to have intelligence. He bestows upon the Cowardly Lion a medal, the Triple Cross. Because now he is part of the Legion of Courage. And then he bestows upon the Tin Man a heart-shaped watch. Because what he wants as a Tin Man is a sensitive heart. He wants to be able to love and care. So there's a ceremony which he bestows upon each of them these things. But in the process of that, what they realize is that they've already got the very things that he's given them. In other words, he can't give them these things. They already have these things. The issue is not that they didn't have them. The issue is that they hadn't looked deep enough within themselves to see that these things were already present. And I think that for us is a metaphor of the Christian life. Because I think there are things that sometimes we think we need in our Christian lives, in our spiritual lives. If we're going to be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do, we just need this or we just need that. When in fact, God has already given us those very things. Notice in what Paul writes to the Ephesians that God doesn't just give us a couple of blessings. Not just one or two blessings. What does Paul say that God gives us? He gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. That's significant. What I want to do this morning is talk about what I think are the three most powerful and operative verbs in this text that we have before us today. That God has blessed us, that God has adopted us, and that God has sealed us. God has blessed us, hasn't he? God has given us so many blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But beyond that, Paul begins to name what some of these blessings are. Paul says that God has made us holy, chosen us to be holy, blameless, and loved. Did you know that you were holy? Sometimes we think, God, come, I come to you. I just wish you would make me holy. I just wish you would make me blameless. I just wish that you would share with me your love. And yet God has already done that. He has made you holy. Did you know that you're holy? Holy does not mean perfect. Holy means set apart. It means God has a special purpose or plan for your life. That's what it is to be holy. Like there's Holy Week. Holy Week is that week God sets apart in order to be made more real to you. God has made you holy as well. He's made you blameless. Do you carry some guilt with you? Do you carry some shame, some regrets? Do you have that little voice in the back of your head that says, if only, only this, if only that? God says you're blameless. God says that you are the way that you are, and God loves you just the way that you are without blame, without guilt, and that he loves you. What a blessing. God has saved us through Christ's blood, he writes, and that we are part of the inheritance, one of the heirs of the kingdom. You've been given an inheritance. You're part of the heirs of the kingdom. God has blessed you in such a powerful way. But what we need to do is remember that. You're all familiar with Billy Graham. Billy Graham has a daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. She is also an evangelist and a writer. A number of years ago, she writes about a time in which her house was broken into. And the thieves stole everything that had any kind of meaning for her. All those things that she treasured most were stolen from her. The next night, she was lying in bed, and she was afraid and sad. Afraid because she was thinking about all those things that had been taken from her, but more than that, she was realizing what had been taken from her most was her sense of security. And she was thinking about all those things now that she could still continue yet to lose. That through sickness or illness, she could lose one of her children or her husband or even her own health. That she could lose her finances. She could lose her job. She could lose her reputation. There were all kinds of things that she felt vulnerable to that she could lose. And then she remembered. Oh, how important it is to remember. She remembered what God had said to her in his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, she remembered a verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Did you catch that? That God has given us an inheritance that can never be taken away from us. Boy, if you can cling to that when you feel a sense of insecurity, a sense of vulnerability, what a difference that can make. So the next morning, she was awakened with a new resolve to always turn over in her mind those blessings that God had given her, to always remind herself of what God had done for her so that in those times of darkness, in those dark nights of the soul, she would have something to cling to. And the way that she did it was she named all the blessings that she could think of that God had given her using the alphabet as her guide. This is what she writes. I am accepted by God, beloved by God, chosen by God, delivered by God, enlightened by God, and forgiven by God. I have grace of God, hope for the future, inheritance in heaven, justification, knowledge of God, love, mercy of God, nearness to God, oneness with God, peace, and a quickening in the Spirit. I am redeemed, sealed with the Holy Spirit, treasured by God, united with other believers, validated as an authentic child of God. I have his wisdom, and one day will be exalted with him. What a wonderful way just to kind of remember what God has done and the many blessings that God has given each and every one of us. We have been blessed. But Paul goes on in verse 5 to tell us that we've also been adopted. Adopted. Made a child of God, given an inheritance, made an heir of the kingdom. You and I, adopted into his family. Now, sometimes I think we take this adoption that we understand as happening in the waters of baptism for granted. Because this is always, for you who have been baptized, especially as children, you just take this for granted, and it's always sort of been who you are. And I'll say, as you know, I was adopted as a child, adopted legally as a child. I've taken that for granted over a number of years. And any of you who understand adoption know that there's always this little something in the back of your mind that kind of says, I wonder what life would have been like had I not been adopted, had I stayed in my biological family. Now, I've never had any regrets about having been adopted into my family. It's been a blessing to me. But at times you always wonder, is the grass greener? Would the grass have been greener? What would it have been like? Right? Which then, those questions in your mind then make you begin to think, I wonder if my adoptive family is really that great, because they seem really nerdy to me sometimes. They seem kind of boring to me. You know, and every family has its quirks, and you can start to get critical about all of that, and you start to kind of think, gosh, I wonder if it would have been better. Well, those questions, though not fully formed in me, were always maybe in the backdrop a little bit until about a week ago. I had the opportunity, while back in Minneapolis, to sit down and have coffee with my biological uncle. Now, this came out of the blue for me. Ancestry.com, you've heard of it? Well, Ancestry.com, which was a little thing that Jill gave me to do a while ago, revealed that I'm Swedish and not Norwegian. I know. I know. I'm still getting used to that. But it also revealed to me that I have a close relative. And how sure were they that this person, they were extremely high, that this one individual was a close relative. Close relative is the closest family affiliation that they will name. So I emailed this person named Roger back in Minneapolis and just mentioned, hey, you know, Ancestry says you're a close relative. I was adopted, 63. Do you know anything about this? And he kind of wrote back saying, well, my wife, she's more into the family history. Why don't you email her? And a few months passed. I got busy. And then I emailed her on June 12th. She writes back pretty quickly saying, oh my gosh, I thought we'd lost contact with you. Yes, we do know something about this. That was Roger, her husband's sister, that had had me as a child. And by that time, she already had three children, was divorced twice, and was working in a grocery store, not married. She couldn't have kept me. And so now, knowing the backstory of my life and what I would have been experiencing in a biological family makes me all the more filled with gratitude over what I have been able to experience in my adoptive family. And I wonder just a little bit, to put this back into the realm of our spiritual lives, I wonder if just a little bit, we all sort of yearn for the world a little bit. Gosh, I wonder, you know, if I wasn't a child of God, I could have a lot more fun. You know, there's a lot out there I could experience that if I weren't a Christian, would be there for me to have. I wonder if the grass would be a little greener if I didn't have to go to church on Sunday or give my money to the church or do those things that God calls me to do as a Christian. Because, boy, those other people sure seem to be having a good time. Until we really begin to kind of unmask that, like I just had the opportunity to do, and you start to see what life would have been like that, and you realize the blessings that we have as an adopted child of God. See, I had opportunities as an adopted child of the Bjorgi clan that I would never have had in the other family. I got to go to college. None of them did. I got to have all kinds of opportunities, being in it one town where I was able to be in every sport and every musical and everything that went on, and was able to find my place as a leader within the community in a way that I would never have done having moved around as they had to move around for all the various reasons they had to move around. I'll just tell you that as a Christian, you are given things that we just take for granted. You're given the grace of God as an elect child of God that the rest of the world doesn't have. They don't know grace. You know grace. They know works righteousness. They know that if they're going to be anything in this world, it's on them to do it. Right? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Nobody's looking out for you except for yourself. Look out for number one, people. But that's not grace. They live in a world of karma. You get what you sow. We live in a world of grace. God loves you. God is there with you. You are part of the kingdom. You've got a future. God has a plan for your life. You can wake up each morning knowing that you are forgiven, that today is the first day of the rest of your life, that everything in the past is gone and forgotten, that God has washed it away, that God looks at you as his beloved child. Do not take that for granted. Being an adopted child of God is nothing to shake a stick at. Jesus went to the cross and died so that you could know that. And you could live in that, and that could become your reality. You know, I don't know who I would be had I grown up as a child in that family. I mean that literally. I don't know what kind of person I would be today. I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to come to faith. I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to have had a wonderful calling like this, or a career at all. I had a brother that worked for the Postal Service. Nothing against the Postal Service. It's a great profession. But his opportunities were limited. What a blessing we have in the body of Christ to be adopted as a child of God. Never take for granted who or whose you are. We have been blessed. We've been adopted. And Paul says in verse 13 that you've been sealed with the mark of the Holy Spirit. You know, we sometimes ritualize that in the waters of baptism, where I will make the sign of the cross. You know, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's where this comes from Ephesians chapter 1. You know, do you remember the good housekeeping seal of approval? Back in the day, you used to look at things, and if they had the good housekeeping seal of approval, what did that mean? It meant it had quality. It meant it had been tested. It meant that you could buy it with some sense of confidence. Well, you've been given God's seal of approval, God's housekeeping seal of approval, if you will. God has placed his approval upon you. Now, the world will offer you its seals of approval as well. The difference between God's seal of approval and the world's seals of approval is that the world's are conditional. Because the world will approve of you, if you make enough money. If you look good enough, dress well enough, live in the right neighborhood, have the right kind of position, have achieved enough accomplishments, right? Then the world will say, now you are approved of. That's very conditional. God's is unconditional. God approves of you for you, loves you the way that you are, has made you the way that you are, and has placed his seal upon you. And he's done it for a reason. And that reason is that God has a special plan for your life. That's why he's poured his Holy Spirit into you. It's there to comfort you, yes. We talk about the Holy Spirit as a comforter or the advocate. But it's there for more than that. It's there to empower you, to embolden you, so that you might come to know the gifts that God has placed in you and then begin to exercise those gifts in a way that blesses others. You've been blessed, adopted, and sealed. And of course that begs the question, doesn't it? Why? Why has God done all this? Well, he tells us in verse 12 why. He says, so that we who are the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. Might live for the praise of his glory. See, everything that you do, the way that you live your lifestyle gives glory to God. And when your lifestyle gives glory to God, that gives him praise. We think that we only praise God when we sing maybe 5 or 6 songs here on a Sunday morning. No. The way that you live your life and your lifestyle, when they glorify God, bring praise to him. That's really your song of praise. Now, the way that you live your life of praise, is also what we call in the church stewardship. A life of praise is a life of being a good steward. Because we Christians know that everything we have, everything that we own, everything that is under our control is not ours. We came into the world with nothing. We will leave the world with nothing. So everything that we have in that interim has been given to us to manage. It's all God's. Everything. Your income is God's. Your body is God's. Your family, your children, your emotions, your home, everything, your friendships, These are all given to you by God for you to manage, for you to steward. And when we are good stewards, we are living a life of praise. We're bringing glory to God. That's what we're called to be about, is stewardship. God has called us to manage these things. When we do, we live the life of a blessed, adopted, and sealed follower of God. And that's so exciting. I want to finish this morning with just two unassailable truths. Those two truths are this. God is love, and He is for you, not against you. The second unassailable truth is that you are a child of that God. Now, here's the sad reality, is that there is an evil one in this world who wants to undermine those two truths, wants to play mind games with you, so that you begin to question one or the other of these truths. He will try to get you to question that God is not really that loving or interested in you. And if he can't get at that truth in your life, then he'll go after the second one. He'll make you question your identity. He'll make you doubt your relationship with this God. He'll make you call into question who you are in relationship with this God and make you feel as though maybe you're not a child of God. Here's the deal. The best defense against the enemy in launching those attacks against you around those two truths are for you to remember. Remember. Remember Wizard of Oz? They just had to remember that they had these things within them, and you have these things within you. We're not talking here simply of a sensitive heart or intelligence or courage. We're talking about the fact that you've been blessed, adopted, and sealed. And if we can remember those things, if you can remember who and whose you are, if you can remember that you've been blessed to be a blessing, if you can remember that you are a child of the living God, if you can remember that the way that you live your life glorifies God and is therefore a life of praise and a life of stewardship, if you can remember that this is the way in which we bring praise and honor to God, the way that we live our lives, oh my friends, then we've gone a long way in defeating the evil one. We've gone a long way in living the life God has called us to live. Let us never forget what God has done for us. Let us always remember, my friends, that you have been blessed, adopted, and sealed. To the glory and praise of our Heavenly Father. Amen.